Let's be honest and for real. Chopping off your own mother ribs so that you can be skinnier? That's terrifying to me.
Sit back and relax as today's program guides you through all things pop culture and the deepest corners of the internet. Warning, may cause brain rot.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Brain Rot. So excited to have you here. I have a lot of topics to get into today, and some of them are pretty salacious. They are some deep combos that I think we really need to have as a society, but also as a community. And I just need to get into it, get it off my chest. And we're also just going to chat and talk about life, dating, love, going out, and enjoying the summer this 2024. If you are driving or doing any tasks that you can't watch, just know that we are available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and other streaming platforms as well. So you can just listen to the audio version and vibe with us anyways. So last weekend was Due West Fest here in Toronto. And that is basically a huge block party where they shut down the west end of Dundas. And they have so many vendors, so much good food, food trucks. They have carnival games and they have amazing DJs that come and have their tents and they shut down the streets and blast their tunes. It's so much fun. I had an absolute blast with my friends. We went and we danced and it rained and we were Drew Barrymore out in the streets just dancing, living, laughing, and loving our lives, except for our one friend who got her phone stolen, which sucks. And if you are watching this, the person who stole her phone, but also they're probably not watching this because only amazing people watch this podcast. But we can all just send negative energy their way. But yeah, so I was out dancing around the town, just having fun, being cuckoo. I wore this like Nirvana t-shirt and I brought my grape ice vape. I know you guys are probably jaw on the floor, you vape, Maya. But yes, I only recently started. I bought it the other weekend when I was out with friends and they were getting a vape. And I was like, you know what? I've never owned one myself. I'm just going to buy one. And I was kind of addicted for about a week. And what happened? I basically ran it through the wash last weekend after the Due West Fest. And I never run things through the wash. So I'm taking it as a sign to stop vaping. I know that there's so many like negative things associated with it, with your health. And so I definitely don't want to pick up the habit and I don't think I'm going to buy one again. I think it was a sign from above, Maya, stop vaping. Like, you don't need to do that, girl. You don't need to add more vices to your plate. All in all, it was a really fun weekend and I just enjoy doing activities like that in the summer with friends. So much fun, and I think it's so important to just get out and socialize and get yourself out of your comfort zone. And I know what the elephant in the room is. Have you gone on any dates, Maya? And I did go on that one date after last pod and it was a nice date. I enjoyed it. We had great conversation and he was super, super nice, super handsome. And the thing that kind of like stuck out to me about the date is that everything was perfect. But something that we never really talked about was me being trans. And I kind of prefer it that way. Like, I always enjoy when someone gets to know me as a person, first and foremost. And it's not really like a topic of conversation. And it's not like this interrogative experience. Like, what do you have between your legs? Like, you know, how long have you been transitioned? What was your old name? Like all those things. It's like, like it's just such old news for us, right? And so it was refreshing to just be seen as who I was and to exist. And it was just like exhilarating in that sense. And it was just a very nice date, you know, just a few like, you know, specialty cocktails, chatting about life, our dreams and ambitions, and just like getting to know one another and then, you know, parting ways. And he did seem very interested and I was interested in him as well. So who knows, maybe we'll see each other again. I'm not too sure. Sure. I will say I always put that I'm trans in my bio on Hinge, on Bumble, on whatever platform I'm using, because I would just rather weed people out early. The way that I try to see it is that why would I want to date someone who, you know, potentially would have a problem with it? So I'm not going to keep it a secret. I'd rather date someone who like knows who I am first and foremost and is open to that than to try to kid myself and to end up with someone who's like, you know, not cool. That being said, and a lot of trans girls can probably relate to this, you don't really know all the time if someone's read your full bio. This guy, however, he was definitely like quoting things off of my profile. He was like being very, you know, analytical, and that was kind of like his job as well, to be very analytical. And so I kind of feel like all the ball was in his court, you know? I don't know if that's the right saying, but he had all the tools and all of the hints to acknowledge the fact that it was on my profile, and he never did. I'm not sure if maybe he just didn't want to bring it up because he didn't care, or if he genuinely didn't know it was on my profile, even though it was front and center. I don't know what to think in this moment, right? Because it wasn't brought up. So I definitely, if I were to go on a second date, I would tell him beforehand and be like, hey, I know that, you know, you were pretty well versed in my profile, and like, I don't want to like discount the fact that, you know, like you probably read everything on my profile, but I just want to double check just to make sure that you read that I'm trans, just so that it's something that we are open about before meeting up again. It's, you know, something that obviously I want my, you know, potential dating partner to be aware of, because it's a part of who I am. Even though it's more so something that I've transitioned through, it's still a part of who I am and my history and stuff. So I definitely think that that's something that would happen in that scenario if we were to meet up again. But yeah, he seems like a busy guy, so I don't know if we will meet up again. And again, when you go on one date with someone, you can't really tell if you're 100% compatible. So I'm kind of like feeling things out. Obviously, like, we were attracted to each other, so that wasn't an issue, but, you know, it was just a date, right? But it was exciting to dip my toes back in the water and to kind of see what's out there, and to also remind myself, you know, like, you're a badass bitch. Like, you can pull tings. Like, you can get guys, you know? And I think we all need to remind ourselves of that sometimes, whether you're a man or a woman. There is always going to be people out there for you, people that are going to be more compatible than that dysfunctional relationship that you're holding on to. And if you've listened to my last podcast, I dumped my ex over pizza. Honey, I was the queen of the dysfunctional relationship. And going on a date like I recently went on, I was just so refreshed and so like filled with life and hope, where I was like, you know what? Like, I am in a state of mind I want to be in like all the time. I have no tears left to cry. Not to quote Ariana Grande, but you know what I mean? Like, I just was like, I felt this like freedom. I felt like fun and flirty. And when you admire someone and you enjoy their company and they also find you attractive, it's very flattering. So I think that was like just what I needed to like get my foot in the door and to really amp up my confidence, because we should all be working on our confidence. Confidence is so important in life. It can be the difference between getting a job and not getting a job, between finding the right partner and letting them pass you by. Confidence is so important. And like anything in life, you have to fake it till you make it. Now I want to dive into the main topic of today's podcast, which is pretty deep and pretty heavy, and I'm probably not going to be able to encompass everything that I have to say about it in today's podcast, so we may touch on this again in future podcasts. But I want to talk about plastic surgery, cosmetic surgery, specifically relating to the trans community, but also in society at large, because let's be real here, most biologically female and biologically male people, when they are getting cosmetic surgeries, they are also getting gender affirming surgeries. And what I mean by that is that, you know, women, when they're getting their noses scalpeled down into tiny little ski slopes, shrinking their waist, getting BBLs, getting breast implants, those are all things that they're doing in order to more feminize their features. So when trans people do it, I don't think it should necessarily be seen as any different or a bigger deal in that sense. And I feel like a lot of, you know, trans people are held under a different light, and a lot of people are quick to jump and call us mentally ill because we want these surgeries, or because we want to, you know, maybe pass more as the gender that we identify with and stuff like that. So I acknowledge that there is a huge overlap between just regular society at large accessing these surgeries and trans people as well. But I just wanted to disclaim that because of my own history and my own existence in this topic, I'm going to be talking more so from a trans perspective. Just to disclaim for anyone who doesn't know and is new around here, I have had a breast augmentation and vaginoplasty as part of my transition. And for me, those were necessities because they helped to feminize my body and make me identify with who I am on the inside and see it on the outside. Now, I will acknowledge to a certain degree, perhaps having a breast augmentation is slightly more cosmetic than it is transitional, because women come in all different shapes and sizes. They come in all different cup sizes. Just because I had, you know, a very light A cup doesn't mean it wasn't natural to another woman who was born female. So I think acknowledging that helps keep me grounded. Now, this is all lead up to talk about a controversial subject for today. Now, there is a content creator who goes by the name of Eden the Doll. She is far more popular than I am, and she's very successful, especially on Instagram and TikTok, where she shares a lot of content about her life, her transition, and everything else in between. And she has this, I guess I would say, like, more glamorous life with plastic surgery and, you know, getting these super long hair extensions and these gorgeous outfits and these gorgeous photo shoots. And she's doing so well for herself. And I just want to disclaim that this podcast and this video is not at all about hating on anyone. No one send hate Eden's way. I think she seems like a sweet person. However, I do think we need to talk about some of the recent developments that she's posted about. And basically what that is that she recently announced on Instagram that she has had her ribs removed in order to achieve a smaller waist. Yes, people. She hacksawed her ribs off in order to have a more hourglass figure. This is where we are at in society. Oh my goodness. Now, I don't want to seem like a jealous, bitter hater, because that's not at all what this is. I just want to have like an open discussion with you guys about this topic, because I think that a lot of individuals are afraid to talk about specifically trans issues because they don't want to seem bigoted. And I feel like as a trans woman myself, who has also had cosmetic procedures done in order to transition, I feel like I'm in the perfect position to actually speak up and say something and just kind of walk through this topic. I'm not one to judge people who want to take matters into their own hands, and every transition is going to be unique to the person. We all have different genetics. We all have different ideas of how we want to be perceived and how we want to look. And it's the same for any person on this earth, trans or not trans. That being said, I think there is definitely a border where we cross and it no longer becomes about transition and it becomes about achieving our idea of perfection. And in my mind, that is more closely aligned with body dysmorphia than it is with dysphoria. I think dysphoria and dysmorphia, there's a very thin line in between them, and they kind of overlap a lot of the time. And I think we have to ask ourselves always, are we doing more to harm ourselves than we are to help ourselves? And are we playing into an idealized view of a caricature of a person than we are to just acknowledging our own humanity? Now, I've done a little bit of research into this rib removal surgery because I don't want to judge and jump to quick conclusions. But basically, from my understanding, this rib removal surgery encompasses the bottom three ribs, I think two of which are floating, and you can't really 100% see them that well. They're kind of like more indented into your body, but you can feel them kind of lower down. And removing those, according to some of the doctors that I've researched, does not pose any immediate threats except for less protection over your kidneys. Less protection over your kidneys, people. So that seems like a kind of complication to me. I don't know. I think my number one concern is mostly the complications that could arise from a procedure like this, which is done solely to have a smaller waist. And that kind of terrifies me because you don't know, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, like, what if your lung collapses? What if, you know, you want to go skiing, alpine skiing? What if you want to go like leisurely skiing in Colorado or the Swiss Alps? And you stumble and fall and your kidney's ruptured. Or what if you're walking by a tennis court and a rogue ball hits you in the side and your kidney's rupture? Or, you know, like, I just wonder, like, what are the instances of injury that can happen as a result of having had this surgery? I think it's terrifying. I think sawing off our bones in order to, like, look more feminine terrifies me. But I'm also happy to be proven wrong. Eden did say that she's going to be documenting this, and I hope that she is as honest as she can be about the good, the bad, and the ugly, because what worries me the most isn't necessarily that she's chosen to do this surgery. I think that she's capable of making her own decisions, and I honestly wish her the best, and I hope it does turn out fabulous, and I hope it does turn out great. But I worry for the people that she influences to also feel the need to get these surgeries, because there is most certainly young people in her audience on TikTok, on Instagram, and they are most certainly following along. And a lot of them I've seen are commenting like, damn, like I need this surgery too. I didn't even know this was possible. That's crazy. Like I want to get this done. I'm built like a box, you know, like that kind of vibe. And it is terrifying to me and sad that those are the conclusions we're jumping to. I think a lot of people, they put a lot of power and godlike qualities onto cosmetic surgeons and doctors. They think it's an absolute. They think that, oh, the ribs are gone, you heal, you're good to go, you have a tiny waist, life's grand. But that's not all, always the way things work, right? And as we know, very ad nauseum, the Cosmetic Surgery Institute prize on people with insecurities. They want to make more money. That's their main motivation. And you can say you have surgeons that like really, really care about your happiness and the results that you're going to have from a surgery. But based on my perspective, the surgeons, they have such a limited interaction with you as a person. And just like on a psychological level, if I was only seeing a patient like once for the surgery and then maybe every couple of years for a follow-up or something, I wouldn't really be able to extend that much empathy or really care that much about improving your quality of life. And my main concern would be like, obviously patient satisfaction, but you know, making bank. And I think that that's obviously the main motivation of most cosmetic surgery institutes. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I'm saying that in order to obtain clients, you sometimes may have to, you know, acknowledge that they are insecure and that maybe therapy in some circumstances would be more powerful than continually getting work done. I think a very clear-cut example of this, to me at least, was the Nikita Dragon situation. And if you guys don't know who that is, she's also a huge, huge, huge trans content creator. She was on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok, and now she's pretty much kind of disappeared in a lot of ways off the face of the earth. And she was known for also having tons and tons of plastic surgery and for the most part being open about it, not about everything I would say, but for the most part being open. And she went down that road of getting so much work done. And I could kind of see this like unhappiness in her, just the way that she, you know, continually would try to touch things up or get things changed. And I remember, to tie it all back to the rib stuff, she released a video where she was talking about how I believe she had a section of her rib removed as well, but specifically the cartilage so that she could insert it into the tip of her nose to have a more ski-sloped nose with more of a profile, which to me was just so unfathomable. Like I could not imagine even conceptualizing the idea of coming up with a surgery like that, let alone wanting it and then seeking it out. So to me, that was an example of like crossing the line between dysphoria and dysmorphia and trying to minutely change things about yourself to try to achieve your version of perfection. And I don't know. I don't know how correlated it is or not, but she ended up still having like mental breakdowns, and you could see a lot of some of her ramblings were to do with her gender identity and not necessarily feeling seen as a woman. There's lots of footage that was released during her mental breakdown, and you can also just see, you know, the pain that she was going through. And so I definitely feel for her, and I feel bad that she, you know, has felt the need to have so, so much work done, in my opinion, to a degree that was harmful. And I worry the same about Eden as well. I obviously hope that they're, you know, able to find peace and comfort in who they are. But my first and foremost worry is that they're influencing younger people to seek out plastic surgery as a remedy for, you know, mental dissatisfaction. Another thing as well is that I believe, and this is all alleged, by the way, none of this is confirmed, but this is, you know, just stuff that I've seen online and stuff that they themselves have shared as well, but for the most part alleged, Eden the doll has spoken about having illegal silicone injections in order to achieve her hourglass figure, which basically was like free floating silicone injected into her buttocks and like thighs and whatever to achieve a more rounder feminine shape. And it's illegal because you never know how that's going to work with your body. It could reject one day and there's no way to properly excise it out. It's not an implant. It's not contained. It's free floating liquid silicone in the body, which is also beyond terrifying and, again, done for cosmetic purposes. And I don't know, like, there was a big wave of trans girls that were getting that done, and they don't even want to talk about it because it's not legal and because it's dangerous. But I do remember Eden talking about it at one point, I believe. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong, and I think that was very brave of her. But she also referred to her rib surgery in the same context as when she had vocal feminization surgery. And she posted a story basically saying that she helped popularize vocal feminization surgery as one of the pioneers to get it and share her experience about it online. And now people all over the world are getting it done. And I don't necessarily discount that. I do believe that. And part of me is like a little bit concerned about that because she's acknowledging her own influence and how getting these procedures, you know, opened the door for so many others to get them. I wouldn't necessarily see it in such a positive light necessarily because from my perspective, I guess maybe seeing some of her content around vocal surgery made me realize it was something that I wouldn't want to get. So in that way, it was positive. But I do wonder to what degree like other trans women are satisfied with their voice surgeries and if any of them have regrets. That's another topic with plastic surgery that I think is so hard to skirt around. A lot of people do have regrets with certain surgeries they've had, and they don't want to admit it because then the haters come rolling out of the woodworks and they go, I told you so, you'll never be a woman, you know? And it's more scary to admit that you've made a mistake when you've chosen to get a procedure done than it is to have something happen to you that's out of your control because you chose, you know? And then if you have complications, you have issues, you feel like you only have yourself to blame. So it can be more daunting to admit to mistakes, you know? And I do wonder specifically, you know, obviously with the vocal feminization, like from my understanding now, it's really not as much of a miracle as what I would have maybe thought years ago. It basically raises your register, your speaking register, but it doesn't add to your range. So you can't really sing, you can't really like scream or shout, and you can only reach a certain pitch of loudness. Like, you know, you can't be heard as easily when you're in louder environments. And that to me, I was like, you know, I'd rather just train organically with what I've already have, with what God gave me and what puberty destroyed, and just try to reconcile with that and try to find peace in that way. And maybe one day in the future, there'll be a surgery that could help with voice because I'll admit it, like I miss my old singing voice when I was a kid. I haven't been able to sing along to my favorite songs ever since puberty in the same key, you know, not unless it's like Cher or something. But yeah, so like I empathize and I sympathize with wanting the results, but I also want us to be aware of like what the real results are versus what it might seem like online. That's another issue that I have, I think, with a lot of plastic surgery in general. People getting work done and then using Facetune or CapCut to completely Photoshop and doctor their results. And then you have people like looking at their content and being like, wow, you look so perfect. I want to go to the surgeon that you went to. I want to get what you had done. And then they get it and they do have the same results, but they don't realize it because of the Facetune, you know, and maybe they're not as happy with it or it didn't turn out how they thought it would. And so I think it's so important that we have an awareness and keep reminding ourselves that just because something might look perfect online doesn't make it real. Just because people might make a procedure seem super easy doesn't mean it was, you know. And there are a lot of trans women out there that are being honest and open and vocal about the struggles of, you know, transitional surgeries and cosmetic surgeries. And I think that that's really, really important. And it's hard to do because you're going to get so much hate from people who already want to hate on you, you know. And you're going to get people saying, I told you so, you shouldn't have done it, you know, and you're going to feel shitty for a while, but you can know that like you were honest and you are helping people like first and foremost from making some of the same mistakes that you made or maybe avoiding complications. So some of my concerns with specifically like rib removal surgery would be, you know, having less protection for your vital organs, which apparently it's mostly just the kidneys, and just having, you know, like nerve damage, like osteoporosis, like bone related issues. I don't know. Like, I just feel like removing part of your skeleton could be so scary. But I am also, you know, pro-science and hoping that this leads to, you know, something great. Who wouldn't, you know, want the opportunity to improve their quality of life? Like, say you are really, really boxy and it's something that's giving you a lot of dysphoria and you're able to have a procedure, like say the rib removal surgery actually isn't that invasive. They just like go in, you know, through the back or whatever it is that they do with their 1-inch incisions. And I think they inject something into your ribs that like causes a fracture and then they can break off the rib. So it's not even like that dramatic from what I've heard, but at the same time, you know, like I really do hope that it doesn't cause long-term issues. And I hope that when the results are shown, they are very honest and there's no doctoring done. But yeah, so like, who knows? Maybe getting your ribs removed could be like the new nose job. Like, who knows? I'm not gonna like call the shots here. And I just hope that, you know, we're being very mindful as a community and we're not necessarily trying to sell something that's going to cause a lot of issues to people in the future. Because let's be honest and for real, chopping off your own mother ribs so that you can be skinnier, that's terrifying to me. I'm like feeling my ribs. I don't know. Like, that's scary. That is scary to me. What do you guys think? Am I being dramatic? Do you think it's important for me to talk about this stuff? I think ultimately at the end of the day, you can get as many procedures as you want under the sun. You're never going to be happy unless you resolve what's going on inside of you. And I think if anyone was truly, truly happy with what was going on inside of them, they wouldn't really feel the need to change the outside to that degree, you know? And I'm not going to deny, you know, someone a nose job or whatever like they want in order to, you know, change and alter their appearance to be more confident and happier in themselves. I would never do that. Like, look at me. I had a boob job, you know, I transitioned. I like fought to be who I am today. And so I do really respect that. But I think we have to have a line in the sand where we go, okay, this has become an obsession and it's not healthy for me and it's not achievable anymore. I need to take a step back. Is that just me? And one thing that I really want to drive home is that it is so, so rare for a plastic surgery to be perceived as natural. It's just not a common thing. And I think maybe people who aren't as well-versed in plastic surgery may not be able to detect it as well. But I can even admit, like, having a boob job, having vaginoplasty, I have scars. You know, my implants, they sit a little bit too firm for a natural breast. Like, they're too perky, you know. I have like two scars on the downstairs going up each side. Like, you have to acknowledge that, like, these are first and foremost surgeries and it's not going to be 100% natural. And I think if you can like really accept all the potential consequences, if you can really accept the lifestyle of it all, then I think you'll be fine. But you really, really have to acknowledge these things and really weigh the pros and cons. And personally, when I think about, you know, the idea of like removing ribs to have a smaller waist, that just terrifies me. Like, that is beyond terrifying. And I just feel like concern in that way, because you're, you know, potentially harming yourself for the rest of your life. You're not going to grow back new ribs. And so, is it worth it? I don't know. What do you guys think? I also just wanted to remind you guys about the book club. By the end of June, we're going to be doing a little review of From Blood and Ash by Jennifer L. Armentrout. So if you're able to get this book in any form from your library, from Audible, from Amazon, anything, go pick it up, because we're going to do a little book review on that. I think that concludes my talk on cosmetic surgery for today. I just think it's important we have these discussions, because I don't think there's enough people talking about it. Again, I think people are you know, not wanting to overstep or, you know, have critique, especially of larger creators, because it can be scary. And I don't want to make any enemies. That's not why I'm making this today. I'm just being observant. I've followed and supported these women for years. And, you know, I've been thankful for many aspects of the journey that they've shared with us. And so I just think it's important that I like give my two cents and deconstruct some of the mentalities that are going on. And I especially hope that if you have like younger trans people, that you can guide them here and help them tune into a little bit more of a grounded reality rather than trying to use plastic surgery to fix a lot of your problems, because that's just not going to be the way that it works. Your brain is a whole different ballgame than your body, and there's only so much you can do to transition physically before you have to acknowledge the mental aspect. Another little thing I want to start doing for my podcast is an advice section where you guys can send in your scenarios or your situations that you want advice on. And I and some of my guests on the podcast will give you our best advice that we can give you for whatever you're going through. I'm going to leave the link in my description box to this podcast. You can click it and write in your questions, write in your situations and all of that stuff. And we will get in and we will help you. I also feel like I have to be a little bit mindful of my own journey as well and acknowledge, you know, what surgery and what stuff has done for me and the confidence it's given me, because it can be a tool that can be very helpful, especially if you're transitioning. But I also acknowledge that there are things that I still would like to finish getting done as well. Like I'm not like sitting on some pedestal saying who can and can't get what done. Like it does not matter to me first and foremost. I just hope everyone is being safe and they end up being healthy and happy with their choices. Even me, like I kind of want like a tracheal shave. I kind of want like electrolysis on my chin and stuff. Like I still want things like that done. Maybe some scar revision down there, you know, like there's always going to be things on my mind that I'm like, maybe I could get this done. And I think just being, you know, thoughtful of like why you're wanting something done and not just like trying to change who you are as a person or to try to achieve approval from others, is so important. I know this podcast was a little bit shorter today, but I hope you enjoyed it just the same. I will be having Emma on for a future podcast. It's coming super soon, so stay tuned for that. It's going to be really fun, and I'm going to bring back Brain Booze as well. So stay tuned for that. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope your brain doesn't rot too much this week. Bye.